How you doing? It's Zach Cassidy.
Adam Henry.
Bobby Jones.
Jeff Jarrett.
Joe Siddle.
TJ Laramie. And
Holy Mackinac, you're listening to Wind City Sports.
Yo, Cole Midwin, everybody. What's good? My name is Jake DeMore, and thank you for streaming and downloading this episode of the Wind City Sports Podcast. Wind City Sports is Windsor's only local sports radio show and podcast, live on CJAM 99.1 FM in Windsor and Detroit every Thursday at 12:30. You can hear replays of the shows on Tuesdays at 8 p.m., and brand new episodes of the podcast drop every Thursday morning on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever podcasts are found, or directly go to windcitysports.com. We're also on the brand new Border City Podcast Network. Talk about that later on the show, as well as all of our social media and much, much more. But today is Thursday, July 4th, 2019. Happy 4th of July to our friends across the border and in Detroit and in the USA. It's episode 152 of Wind City Sports. I just returned back from Italy. We were gone for 2 weeks, and while I was there, we were still dropping episodes. So if you missed episode 150 with Todd Warner, former Windsor Spitfire and NHLer, commentator and now coach, he's done a lot on and off the ice, check that one out. And last week, we had a double shot of interviews with Jovo, Ed Jovanovski, talking about his golf tournament next Friday, and Mark Cadot, a local hockey coach who also spent time in the OHL and played pro around the world, including Italy. So it was pretty cool to drop that one as I was there. But without further ado, it brings me to my next interview with another former OHLer who went on to play pro, who actually landed in Texas. He's working in the oil fields now. He played for the Windsor Spitfires and off his OHL career, but he played in the London Knights, a few other teams actually. I played nearly 10 years pro over in America. It's Screwy Todd St. Louis. So he's another Club 40 alumni here from Windsor. West End kid. He has actually a pretty cool story about growing up here and stuff like that. He did some boxing growing up, so I don't want to spoil too much, but some small connections there. It's pretty cool. So I actually had a great conversation with him. He's just a straight up classic beauty and just likes to talk about the old days and shoot the shit about hockey. He's very down to earth and honest and open. So I mean, what more could he ask for? Todd Screwy St. Louis is going to be coming up here on the podcast in just a few minutes. And then following that, get you caught up with what's going on with our Clippers, what's upcoming for games and stuff like that. And of course, you can catch it all on the Wind City Sports radio show on CJAM, which if you're listening first thing Thursday morning, we'll be dropping in the afternoon. Check us out, or check me out on Twitter for more information on that. And if you don't know who Screwy is, just look up his HockeyDB. It's what I've been using for at least the last year now to get research on guys in regards to you know, their stats and where they've played, who they played with. If you click on a team, it shows you the whole roster from that year. It's pretty cool. But another website I want to tell you about really quickly before we jump into that interview is seatgiant.ca. If you're looking to get some tickets, go to seatgiant.ca, another third-party sales site, but you get 5% off with code WINCITY, and it's all in Canadian dollars. Check out seatgiant.ca right now if you're looking for some Tiger tickets for today, maybe 4th of July or the weekend. But without further ado, let's send it over to Screwy, Todd St. Louis, former OHLer from right here in Windsor. Here we go.
Okay, all right. So on the phone right now, we have a former Belleville Bull, London Knight, but most importantly, a former Windsor Spitfire from right here in Windsor, now working in the oil fields in Texas, Screwy Todd St. Louis. Welcome to Wind City Sports, man.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me on here.
Absolutely. Do we always like to catch up with the boys from the Spits and from Windsor in general? So let's talk first off about kind of growing up in Windsor. Where, what area did you live in? What schools did you go to? All that, you know, fun stuff.
Well, obviously, I was born in Windsor, you know, at Hotel Duke, and but I grew up in Tecumseh.
Okay.
So I grew up going. I was a St. Pius racer and pacer, I mean, and went to high school at St. Anne's. Finished, you know, my high school at St. Anne's because I was, you know, traded from London to Windsor, so I got to go back to my, you know, old school I started at. So, which was pretty cool.
We can, let's talk about kind of growing up playing hockey. Did you play Windsor Minor, Riverside, maybe even Tecumseh Minor?
Well, I started off at Shoreline in St. Clair Beach. You know, it was right next to Tecumseh. And when they shut down, you know, we just all dispersed from there. And I ended up going to Windsor and trying out for the AAA team. And I made it my first year there. So, it was one of those deals, you know, you'd like to, like, you know, stay where you are playing in Shoreline. I have great memories of playing Shoreline hockey. But, you know, it's sad and unfortunate they shut that place down, and a lot of great, you know, athletes have came out of there. Ryan Pollock, Tim Kerr, boys like that. So, but I was fortunate to go to Windsor and play a few years there before I moved on to junior.
Did you guys play at 80 Knox? Where did you guys play?
80 Knox was a home arena, and when I played for the Club 240, that was a home arena pretty much. Yeah. You know, and besides, you know, summer hockey, I think we played a lot in South Windsor. I don't even know, you know, I haven't been home in 16, 17 years, so I don't even know if there's new arenas or arenas aren't there anymore. So.
Oh, yeah. I used to work in the – well, I work in the arenas in Belle River. I used to work for the city. I worked at, obviously, okay. The new WSCU is the new Windsor Arena. The school board bought the barn, and they're supposed to be making it into a school. I don't know if you played
really?
It.
Really?
Yeah, well, it's rather a school or like a sport complex for the board. I can't remember exactly what it was.
No.
That's kind of unfortunate.
That's,
you know?
That's it's upsetting, you know. You know, you grow up, you know, from that area, and I remember as a kid going to Windsor Arena, see the Spits play. And
yeah, that was my next
dad
question.
My played there Friday nights, you know, men's league. And they had a certain, you know, smell, certain feel about that place. It was rich with hockey, and it would just, I was sad that, you know, yeah, we needed an upgrade, but it's just sad there's no more, you know, OHL hockey being played there.
Yeah, that was like old school OHL hockey.
Yeah.
It was the oldest arena. Dude, when they built the WSCU, they got to move Windsor Minor there, so we got to play there as like midgets, and we were loving it, you know. One year,
nice.
Spits are playing there, and next we're in the locker room and playing on that ice. We thought it was great, you know. Adstall Arena is long gone. I don't know if you guys played there.
Where, sorry?
Adstall.
Adstall. Really? That's gone.
Tore it right down. It's all houses, new community, and everything. It's totally different.
See, I've been gone way too long. I don't know these things.
But they did expand South Windsor recently, though. Renamed it to the Capri Pizza Complex.
Nice. Hopefully they give free slices when you get off the ice.
Kind of like Little Caesars Arena. All right. So,
Little Caesars, right? It's the mini. It's the minors.
The Canadian brother.
Yes, sir.
So that was my next question, too, was, you know, did you go to Spits games as a kid? You had mentioned that. Like, I just remember growing up and that being, like, the biggest thing in the city. Hockey was everything to me. So the Spits were huge, you know.
Oh, yeah. I grew up just worshiping, you know, the Spitfires. That was my dream, you know, one day play in OHL, hopefully, you know, play with the Spitfires. And I was fortunate, you know, I didn't play a lot, but, you know, I played 19 games, I believe. And it was towards the end of my junior career. So, you know, being traded to Windsor was, you know, the greatest thing that ever happened to me. You know, being from Windsor, playing for the Spitfires. You know, I couldn't have been more happier, you know, in my OHL career about that.
Absolutely. I want to get into that, too. I have all my notes written down here. But one that stood out to me when I listened to you on the Fourth Line Voice podcast, as you mentioned, you lived next to the infamous Charlie Stewart and did some boxing here at Border City Boxing. So he pretty much coached my coach and passed down the responsibilities to him. His name's Cedric Ben. He's a regular on the show, actually. He'll come on and shoot the shit with me sometime, and he kind of passed on the responsibilities to Cedric. So kind of funny how that, you know, lineage all came to be, I guess, and that you were training with Charlie as a kid.
Yes. Man.
Yeah.
That's the man that has the most scariest eyes in my life. I see him in my head. You know what I mean? He would get me in the ring and like, hit me, and he'd just be those eyes, dark, piercing eyes, and he'd like, I'm not gonna fucking hit you. You know, I was 15 years old, and he wanted me to beat him, and obviously I wouldn't hurt him, but he would whoop my ass. But I just remembered those eyes. I could still see them today.
That's hilarious, man.
Yes, I'd come home from like school, and Charlie would be up there on the driveway. You know, he'd say, Todd, come on. He'd take me at the time, I can't. It was in Windsor, and it was Border City Boxing Club. And man, I can't remember the other guy that was there. I couldn't remember, but I'm just a young 15-year-old kid, you know, wanting to learn, you know, how to throw a few punches, you know, to hopefully keep me in shape for hockey. And, you know, you had the likes of, like, Pete Pistoka, you know, and occasionally Dave Bedentow was there.
Ah, that's what I wanted to mention. Yes, yes.
And I remember, as, you know, being there and young, was it Andrew Cooner?
Okay.
Charlie coached him in the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just a young kid. I mean, he couldn't have been 7 or 8 years old, you know, coming into that place. And I remember, you know, you never know what you're going to see, you know, walking, you know, Charlie Stewart, you know, he's a good coach. And he produced champions.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I was fortunate with, you know, him just dragging me over there, you know, teach me, you know, take a punch and throw a punch. So it was kind of neat, you know. It was a good experience, you know, in my early teenage years to get me started, you know. I didn't think I was going to be a fighter when I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get thrown in to the OHL, you know, thinking you're going to be a superstar, you know. And I was a 14th round pick, and it just, like, I was fortunate to make it.
Absolutely.
You know, I was a long shot, and, you know, it took me a year, you know, playing Tier 2 Junior A to make it. And I get involved that year when I made it just to start fighting. And I owe a lot to Charlie Stewart, you know, give me the confidence to, you know, go toe-to-toe with other guys.
Mm-hmm. So did you kind of have that confidence going into it, or did you, like, have a fight and think, like, holy shit, that boxing really paid off?
No, I was never really confident. You know, you never, like, being in hockey, you're always nervous. You know, don't know what to expect. You're young. And I think it's one of those things that you learn. You know, the more you do it, the more confident you get. But you're still, there's fear involved in it. I don't care who you are. You're going to, you fear, what if? So it's one of those deals.
Yeah,
you know?
I got you. I think it was, I always listen to that Spit and Chicklets podcast. I think Biz Nasty was talking about how he was nervous every single time he had to wear gloves. You know, it's just, there's no way of getting around it, right?
No, you're sitting in the dressing room, and in every arena you go to, there's the stats, you know, the stat sheets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd grab the stat sheets and, you know, go have my pregame dump and read the stat sheets. You know, I'd see who has the pims and, you know, there's heavyweights, there's middleweights, you know, and there's guys that fight the heavyweights, and there's guys like me that would do the middleweights and the heavyweights. You know, I was a smaller guy. I wasn't big, you know, 200 pounds, you know, when, you know, I was playing pro, and I bet you I was a 180 soaking wet in the OHL. But I still ran around chasing the heavyweights, you know, just, I was stupid. Just trying to, you know, I enjoyed it, but I was still scared every time I got out there.
Different animals out there.
I knew I was going to get involved in something.
That's funny. But I like that you mentioned Dave Beneteau, because we just had him on the show like 2 months ago, actually. I spoke on the phone. He's a beauty, man. And just the stuff that he did, I'm in jiu-jitsu, so to see a guy from Windsor, you know, and the history in the UFC, I just thought it was cool. And listening to that podcast.
I'm the originals.
Yeah, yeah. And then when I hear you mention Charlie Stewart and him, I'm like, oh, this, I can't wait to bring that up, right?
Yeah. So there's history in Windsor, and there's a lot of guys that, you know, come up the ranks, either, you know, in hockey. There's a rich history of hockey, I think, fighters in general in Windsor area. A
lot of tough guys from around
here,
man.
Probert, you got McCarty, you got guys that are local. You know, Darren Banks.
Yeah.
Tasty. I could go on, you know.
Oh, dude, and then to the new era, too.
I mean, yes.
Matt Martin.
Yes, sir.
Zach Cassian. So
Matt Martin.
So we'll go back really quickly, sorry. My coach, Cedric Benn, here, that took over for Charlie, he trains those guys in the summer. And that's his thing, is his boxing for sport. He trains Cassian and Dalton Prout and Matt Martin. He trains Luke Wilson, the football player, Nice. Like, you know what I mean? So that's why I kind of wanted to bring that up. Like, of course, boxing and fighting is going to help dropping the mitts, but just the core strengths and all that, like, it goes so far and so deep. So that's why, on a serious topic, I did want to bring that up as well.
Right.
Yeah. So that's
pretty cool.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And to see it, you know, like, play out in the NHL, like, no argument there, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
I remember, you know, a lot of guys, you know, Detroit area going to Kronk, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's still around.
I've heard of it.
Caught fire a few years back.
Okay.
Kronk Gym, I don't know. Okay, so it's not as predominant as, like,
no, a boxing,
you know,
gym?
Border City Boxing, I guess.
No. We have Border City days. Boxing. You know, MMA is huge now, right? It's all MMA schools,
yeah,
and stuff like that. But
yeah,
I got some specific things I want to throw out here based off your Twitter. So I went through some pictures, and I got three things. So we're going to start with the night the London Knights borrowed a wolf. Can you explain that one for us?
Yeah, there's a group of us, Dan Stewart, Owen McKinney, I can't remember, Ryan Burgoyne. And man, there's somebody else.
Wasn't Jamie Brown
I don't know,
there?
We just got this wild hair up our butt and decided we're going to go steal that wolf. You know, if you're familiar with the OHL, in Sudbury, there's a stuffed wolf. Every time they score, it goes from the rafters all the way down. And, you know, we weren't doing, you know, faring too well that year, you know, running it up 360-3 that year. But we were like, let's go shake them up. You know, maybe we could, you know, get a win out of this, you know, shake them up. So we run over. I don't even know how far we were, but it seemed like a few miles anyway from the hotel to the arena. And we get up there, we boost people up into the balcony. And I can't remember who it was, but I think it might have been Owen McInerney. He grabbed the wolf, untied it, threw it down to me, and we just took off straight down, you know, Main Street or whatever it is, to the hotel. And when we got to the hotel, we had to go, you know, go to Branks, you know, longtime equipment trainer for London Knights, RIP, rest his, you know, soul. He passed away a few years ago, and the smile on his face was like, he was loving it, you know. He got a picture with it, you know, flipping the, you know, the wolf off, and we all got photos of it. It's somewhere on my Facebook, a photo with me and the guys with the wolf. But later, you know, not even 10 minutes after we got to the hotel, we get our coach got a call from someone in the Wolves organization wanting us to return it. So it didn't take long for someone to find out we had it. So it was kind of fun.
Yeah, boys will be boys.
Yeah, yeah, and we didn't harm it. We weren't going to hurt it. You know, it was just one of those deals. You know,
we're going to hold
a ransom maybe.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure we proceeded to get pounded the next night. We didn't fare too well.
That was
on the scoreboard.
Different era for the London Knights then, eh?
Yeah, it was a rough time. You know, I was in Belleville, like, for training camp that year, and got traded after training camp to London, so I didn't know what I was getting into. No one knew London was going to have that type of year. And it was unfortunate, but, you know, it made history in the wrong way, you know?
Yeah.
And the funny thing is, I believe there was 8 guys drafted to the NHL from the London Knights that year.
What?
So there was talent. It was just young talent.
Hmm. Wasn't Jamie Rivers there?
So, he was in Sudbury, I think, that year.
Oh, okay. Because that's what you tagged him in that photo, so I wasn't sure if he was, which side he was on.
Throwing at him, you know, rubbing it in his face, you know, I got your wolf, you know.
Remember me? So what about your profile picture? It seems like that tells a story.
Which one is it?
You got the ice pack on your face, I think, you're flipping him off the camera.
That's when I was playing in Arkansas, Little Rock, Arkansas, for the Glacier Cats. And I believe, man, I can't remember who I fought that night, but anyways, I was sitting in the dress room, and we had a team photographer, and he just came in, and I flipped him off, and he took a picture.
That was
pretty much plain and simple. That was it.
Just a good one. You got the bleach blonde hair, total 90s.
Oh, yeah, you had the, you know, total 90s, you had the bleach hair.
Is there any other like specific Windsor stories that come to mind? Like with the Spanky locker room?
Locker room? Yes. Don't know how this came about. I remember before games, I would just, I'd get guys amped up, hyper. That was kind of my, role was to be a motivator. And I remember seeing an apple sitting on the trainer desk or something stupid. And I'd go around the room, getting in people's faces or shaking them a little bit. And I walk up to this apple and I just grab it and I smash it on my head. And it goes flying everywhere. So it came, for the short time I was there, it was like a tradition. And it proceeded into the playoffs. Now, any kind of fruit that was sitting around, I would smash it on my head. You guys probably think I'm a retard for it, but, we all got a good laugh at it, So that's, a little locker room inside. I don't know who knows about it, but, you ask guys like Jeff Zaird, Smith,
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Who was on that team at the time? And later I have here there because I also interviewed him recently. Who were you talked about, coming home, playing your last little bit in the O with your hometown team. Like you talked about how prestigious that was, but the team itself, like DJ Smith, I think was there. Like lots of
guys. Yes.
So what was that?
It was pretty great. I grew up with Tim Finley and Ryan Pollock. We played minor, AAA together in Club 240. And I got to play in the OHL Spitfires with them. And it was pretty cool because we ended up playing all together in Little Rock, Arkansas together. So we got to play, a lot of years of hockey with each other. And I don't think there's a lot of guys that could say that. They grew up with guys and played OHL and played pro with. So I believe that's like my fondest memory of playing hockey. You're playing with buddies that you grew up with,
That's what it's all about, man.
And yeah. I never got to play, in OHL against Jovanovski, but we were all on the same team. Me, Pollock, Finley, and Jovanovski.
That's cool.
And but he was a beast to play against in OHL.
Can I imagine? Do you remember your first game at the Barn?
Yeah, I was playing for Belleville Bulls and I think it was Jovanovski's second year. I remember him. I don't know what happened. I had the puck, and he just laid me out center ice, and he looked at me. He's like, want to go? I was like, okay. But he turned around and skated away.
Uh-huh.
I was like, what are you doing?
If only.
I think he felt bad for me,
If only.
I let him go. I'll let him go with that one.
Let it slide.
But, yeah. It's pretty cool playing with somebody, played with somebody, grew up with somebody that – moved on, had a wonderful, NHL career, legend in Windsor anyway. So it's pretty neat.
Pretty much, like you talked about it before, just, you only got to play so much, but these are like the best, Because like you said, you're an open book, you don't have anything to hide, you have some great experience. Like even if, people don't get to do what you did, and there's people that are like, I wish I could have made it to the NHL, but at least you got to experience the O as a young kid and stuff like that, great memories, played with great players. That's why I always like to go back and talk to you guys like yourself, because I'm sure that experience is like a great time in your life,
I look back and I was like, man, I could have done this, I could have done that better, but I don't have regrets.
Yeah.
It took me to Texas. I have four kids because of it, and I have memories. I play with guys that played in the show, and I don't regret nothing about it. And I shouldn't, because, man, a lot of my guys, teammates growing up, Windsor Club 240, didn't get a sniff at it. And, I feel like growing up, I was one of the worst players on the team. So I was fortunate.
Yeah.
That's right. I just worked my ass off. I was willing to fight. I was willing to put in the effort. And it just, I didn't play in the NHL, but, man, I got to play pro for several years.
Very true. That's what
I'm not complaining.
Yeah, exactly. You lived a life playing hockey, man. That's great.
I got to pay to do what I loved.
Yeah.
And, I didn't get paid much when I got paid.
Like I said, it brought you to your work now pretty much too, though, right? But that's what I want to get into is your pro experience. What was it like in general for you? Did you like that as well?
Playing pro, yeah, definitely. You know, it was nerve-wracking. You know, I started in Lake Charles, Louisiana, getting on a plane, fly to Houston, and some guy couldn't even understand. His accent was so thick and so, you know, it was a dense southern Louisiana accent. Couldn't even understand him. He fixed me up, and you know, I was wearing a winter jacket pretty much, and I get off the plane in Houston, and I'm sweating. So my first experience, you know, I was like, man, I dressed for the wrong occasion, I guess. And get to Lake Charles, and, you know, it was a whole different ball game. You got men, you know, I was a 21-year-old kid, and you're playing against 35-year-olds, you know. Yeah, you thought you were a young kid playing junior, playing against 21-year-olds, but you have full-grown men that are 30 years old playing against, and they've been around for years. They might have played in the show. I'm sure they played college. I'm sure they played OHL or WHL or the Quebec Major Junior, and it's a wide variety of – I can't think of the word I'm thinking of – of
diversity.
Maybe you can help me. Diversity, you know.
Diverse hockey players, yeah.
It's just not Ontario boys, or you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know what
you mean. And it was a great experience because that's when you start seeing what's out there.
Yeah, it's kind of opening your
talent there is.
Yeah, opening up your eyes to basically the hockey world, right?
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's such a huge world. You know, you're growing up and all you see is where you're from.
Yep,
you know, there's players all over the world trying to get to that, you know, level. Or the next level.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a good experience. And playing in the South, I love it. You know, they're diehard fans. They didn't know nothing about the game, but they're willing to they fed off it. You know, they fed off the fights. They fed off the goals. It was a great atmosphere playing in the South.
That's awesome. What were those leagues like?
Yeah.
The WPHL and the CHL, I think that was the Central League. Was it like a lot of guys just trying to like make a name for themselves and get recognized, or you know, just guys kind of getting the dream going?
No, but there were guys that towards the end of the career, you know, I played with like Darren Kimball, you know, Max Middendorf, you know, guys that played in the show, you know, a little older, you know, towards the end of the career. But you got guys that trying to get to the next level, maybe the East Coast, maybe the AHL. I think the IHL was still around at the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's still a chance, you know, and these were like farm teams, you know, still, but I don't know where I was going with that. I just lost all concentration.
Moving into something else.
But, yeah, it was an experience.
Yeah, that's what actually.
And you know, definitely, you know, I was trying to get, you know, when I was playing in Fort Worth, we practiced after the Dallas Stars at the Star Center, and there was Bob Gainey sitting up there. There was Hitchcock, and you know, you're working your ass off during practice, and you know, maybe they'll see me. You know,
mm-hmm. Hey, waving. Hey,
you never know. Say, we had a guy playing when I played for Fort Worth Brahmas that actually got to play a few games in the NHL. You know, later, you know, after putting his dues in, Mel Engelstad, one of the toughest guys ever played minor league hockey. So
that's just an emergency call-up.
You guys look him up. Do what?
Emergency call-up kind of thing?
He actually wore number 69 for the Washington Capitals.
Pretty memorable.
Yep, look him up. Tough as nails. One of those guys you look up to. You know, I was a rookie. He was a veteran. Just... you know, it's cool to see stuff like that. There was guys getting the sniff. Darcy Vareau, he played with Washington as well. I think there's another guy. There's a few guys. And there's a lot of guys that, you know, played in the show, like Andre Rosico, you know, Dale Henry. There's a bunch that played in the minors that, you know, were there and just finished out their career.
Yeah, man, just kind of go back to what you were saying before, like kind of coming into pro too. Like that's what a lot of guys say is, you know, you come from junior and it's just a pool of like, you know, 21 or 16 to 20-year-olds. Now you're seeing men, now you're seeing veterans, now you're seeing new guys trying to make it that are skilled, new guys that are not skilled and fighting and stuff. It's just a combination of everything, and that's why they call the AHL the jungle, right?
Right.
Just full of everything.
No, I never got the opportunity to play in the NHL. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to have something special to get there, I guess.
Yeah, it really shows, you know, the level of play that you have to kind of be at. Yeah. And how deep it really, really is.
Definitely. Now, I respect anybody that's played at that level in NHL. You know, yeah. They've been there, done that. They've done something right.
Absolutely. So, absolutely.
You know, people go out and bash Matt Cook. You know, that kid, I played Tier 2A with him. I played in OHL with him. And he went on and had an amazing career. People hate him. One of the worst hated guys in NHL, I guess. So I read on Twitter and whatnot. But you know what? That guy lived the life. He was there. He lived it. He earned it. And I would have been that same dickhead he was.
Yeah, I'm not going to blame him, right?
I promise.
You know what? I love Sean Avery. That's the guy I love that everyone hated.
Yeah. I love guys like that. You know, I kind of, you know, was that guy in the minors, you know, for a few years. You know, I didn't give a crap. I was going to stick you. You know, whatever I did, you know, I did it for my team.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's a team thing, right? So everyone has their role. And
yeah.
That's what you need to do. That's what you need to do.
You love me playing with you, and you hate me playing against me.
That's the absolute best, man. Honestly, that's the best.
You know? So.
Yeah, so you kind of wrapped up your pro career in Texas with the Amarillo Gorillas. Did you enjoy Texas that much that that's why you decided to stay there? And are you still in Amarillo? Where are you?
I live about 60 miles from Amarillo in a small oil field town, border Texas. And yeah, when I say stuff like that, you probably hear my accent. I talk to a lot of people from my family. They're like, "Man, you sound Texan."
Well, that was my last.
Yeah, people around here still think I sound Canadian.
Really?
You know, I do the A's. I do the about. You know, the boat. You know.
Yeah.
And yeah. So you know a lot.
Sorry.
I
was apologizing. That was my last question was going to be, how did you adopt that accent?
You live here 16 years, 17, 18 years, you're going
to
get it.
You have to, right? Because people don't understand you.
I'm 43. I've been kicking around the States, you know, in this South since I was 21. So it's naturally going to happen. You're around people. I'm sure if I go back home, and start hanging out with my family, my friends. You know, the Canadian accent will come back.
And then you'll go back home and have to do it all over again.
Yeah, exactly.
When I turned on that podcast, I'm like, what? Well, this guy was Canadian.
Right.
Oh, buddy. Do you still keep in touch with a lot of people around here, though?
I try. Facebook's wonders. You know, if it wasn't for Facebook, probably not. Because it's just... You know, you start getting older, you have your own life, people lose contact, but thank God for Facebook, because you always could check up on your buddies, your family, and whatnot. And I haven't been back in Windsor since, probably 2002.
Oh, wow.
You know, it's been a long time.
Yeah, a lot's changed.
Yeah, you get kids, it's just not something, my oldest is 16, so... And it's just not, I just can't jump up and go.
Yeah, life just started happening for you, right? So.
Yeah, I got life here, you know, I got family there, but my life is here, my family's here too.
Yeah, it seems like you enjoy it. Do you still get on the ice at all?
Yeah. Yeah, I started 3 years ago. In Amarillo, we have a junior team, Amarillo Bulls. They're in the NAHL. They just went to the Robinson Cup Finals this year. Good hockey. I mean, it's not OHL, but these kids, I bet you, I don't know, 80% of the kids get Division I, Division II, III scholarships every year. I don't know if you're familiar with the NHL.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's pretty much
I'm a big supporter.
Yeah, it's pretty much like the American Junior, right?
Do what?
It's pretty much like the American Junior. Like,
equivalent. Yeah, it's the top American. Well, besides the USHL, it's the next step down.
Okay.
And we got teams. It's pretty much, there's teams wherever there used to be a pro team in Texas South, you know, in Louisiana, there is now a junior, you know, Tier 2A team here. you know, it's more feasible for, you know, owners to have a team here than pay the players, you know. It works out. They get good fan base. It's good hockey. I love watching. You know, I'm a big fan. I go to 20 games a year probably. You know, I'm a big supporter.
Cool.
But, I'm playing hockey again. About 3 years ago, I started playing men's league here. We have four teams, and last year we just went from four teams to eight teams, surprisingly, in Amarillo, Texas. So we got an A and B league. We got four teams and four teams.
Huh.
And after, I don't know, 14 years, it was my first time playing. I was a little rusty, but last few years I'm getting back in her. You know, it's tough. You know, when I was playing, I was 200 pounds. Now I'm 250. But it's a tough transition being fat.
Hey, it's just to be with the boys, have some fun, get a little skate. And,
yeah.
You know.
And exactly. We play once a week.
Yeah.
I drive, you know, an hour to go play. And it's one of those deals. You sit in the room. There's a few ex-pros that play, too. And you just sit around the dress room, and, man, you don't want to leave. It brings back all these memories, and we just, all the ex-pros sit and talk, you know, our stories, and all these guys that never played that kind of caliber hockey just sit there and listen. So it's kind of neat. You know, they just relish it, and it's something that you miss, the camaraderie, you know. Being naked in the dressing room, sharing a beer.
Hey, I always say my favorite part's showering.
Yes, you know, exactly. I know what you mean.
I just love it. You know, just that's what it's all about, man. It's almost more a social thing. Like, I love being on the ice and playing hockey, but sometimes when I'm dreading it, I'm just like, you know what? Like, I'm kind of like dragging my ass. I'm like, let's go see the boys. And once I get there, then it's all different, you know.
It's all worth it, you know, being on the ice. It makes you a kid again, you know?
That's why I wanted to go back, man.
I love it.
Yeah, I didn't play for a few years, and a bunch of my buddies that I played house league with and went to high school and played high school hockey with, they were all on a team, and I was like, man, please let me join this team because it's just the boys, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
It's something I'd never take back. I don't think I'd ever quit. I'm going to play until I can.
That's the thing.
I should have took those 13, 15 years off.
Yep, I wish I...
When I quit hockey, I was just like, I was mad at the, you know, mad about it. You know, I couldn't be around it. Oh, so it was one of those deals. You know, I struggled with that.
Okay.
You know, you grow up and you're at the rink 24/7, you know,
mm-hmm.
especially when you play junior and you play pro. And when that's gone, it's like, man, it was a challenging time in my life.
I didn't realize that. I thought maybe you were just like, all right, you know, enough's enough time.
I wish I could have played forever, but, you know, this new veteran rule came in CHL, and if you had a certain amount of games, you were considered a veteran, and they were only allowing like three veterans per team. So they kind of push you out and bring younger kids in, you know. And it was a dumbass rule. It was like just brought in the few years I was playing.
Yeah, when you're trying to stick around, right? And they're basically trying to shove you out the door, yeah.
And, you know, maybe I could have worked a little harder, you know, stuck around, but it is what it is.
Yeah, like you said, you got no regrets, man.
Yeah.
Well, dude, I really appreciate you taking the time to do this, man. That's a good conversation. It's
problem, yeah.
Good to catch up with
another one. I enjoyed doing it. I love talking hockey. Might not be the best talker, but, hell, I'll throw some stories around.
That's what it's all about, bro. Thank you so much, and all the best to you out in Texas, man.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you taking the time to, you know, throw me a line.
All right, there you have it, folks. Screwy Todd St. Louis on the Wind City Sports Podcast. That was a stellar conversation with a straight-up dude. And afterwards, we shut the shit for a few more minutes, so it was cool to kind of get to know the guy. Honestly, didn't know too much about him before. Just kind of came across him on Twitter, followed, and has been supporting ever since. I got to say thank you to him again. And
yeah, just kind of wanted to, you know, hear the full story right from him instead of kind of, you know, answering those questions for myself. I always like to hear from the horse's mouth, you know, tell me some stories about your playing days, who you played with, stuff like that, and just talk about, like he said, just that he was kind of privileged to play where he played, and he knows it, and he's able to, you know, kind of make a living off it for a few years, and now wants to keep it in his life. It's pretty cool. And the connections there, I forgot to mention, Charlie Stewart and Dave Benito, a guy that was on the show before. Charlie Stewart, obviously a Windsor legend in boxing, so it's pretty cool that he crossed paths with them. A guy that, obviously, like I said, he considers himself from Windsor, and he's Canadian, but he certainly has been taken over by the Texas lifestyle out there, that's for sure. So for him to cross paths with some guys that we know down here in Windsor, small scale like that, it's pretty cool. And even more so, he played hockey with Mark Cadot and Ed Jovanovski growing up. The two guys were on the show last week, so that's cool. He knows a lot of people in Windsor, even though he hasn't been here in 10 years or more. I think he said he hasn't been here since 2002. So it's cool to get him caught up with the rinks and what's changed in that in the city. And there's much more out there, Screwy. If you're hearing this, there's a lot that you've missed and that has changed, and probably more to come. The Windsor area for hockey, and I think I was wrong on that the Windsor Arena thing. They did, that was the plan, but they got scrapped for some reason. I think right now it's up in the air. It's just sitting there. For a while they were storing salt in there, just a big pile of salt, and I'm not sure if they even have any official concrete plans for the building yet, but all in all, I know that they can't, they have to preserve it because it's so old. They have to preserve parts of it for heritage reasons, whatever. So if there is anything going to be done to the barn, the structure itself will stay and the inside will be gutted out and changes, but hopefully they stick that around and keep it as a rink. But really quickly, I'm going to run down some stuff that's upcoming here in Windsor. As we've been gone, the Windsor Junior B Clippers ripped it through their division and are in the finals. They'll be taking on Six Nations in a 5-game series starting on Friday. Check out WindsorClippers.com for more information on their schedule, times, and where they go from here. The Windsor TFC soccer team is on the road this week in Aurora, and it looks like they don't have a home game until the 19th of July here at Alumni Field. And our St. Clair Green Giants are on the road right now. They have a pretty jammed schedule between Tuesday and next Thursday. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 away games. 12 away games until they return home on Friday for a triple header Friday, Saturday, Sunday at home at Lacoste Park. Check out stclairgreengiants.com for more information. That's the St. Clair College's semi-pro baseball team, so check them out. They're pretty stellar, and they were on a roll. I gotta check their schedule, actually. I've been gone for 2 weeks and I haven't been keeping up with it. But if you want to hear some more news and upcoming events and some results from all those teams and much more, as mentioned, listen to Wind City Sports Radio on CJAM 99.1 FM on Thursdays at 12:30 p.m. because that is all this week on the podcast. My name is Drake DeMore, and thank you for streaming, downloading, or listening to the podcast, however you do, here on the Wind City Sports Podcast. We have brand new episodes every Thursday, so stay tuned for more. And obviously the radio show, as mentioned. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that social media at @WindCity_sports, or just simply search up Wind City Sports, Wind City, all one word. And you can follow me, Drake DeMore, on Twitter and Instagram at @DrakeDeMore. We'll be back here with a brand new episode next Thursday, and until then, smell you later.